Cool. We ready to start? Does anybody want to host?
I'll host. Will, you should host. You haven't done it for a while.
Oh, no, you can go.
I don't want to.
I don't want to either. How about we do it together, Ethan?
But if you're going to host together, you have to hold hands.
Okay.
It feels cold. It's like touching a corpse that never was alive.
I feel nothing. Three, two, one, and
what's
welcome
up
to the Talking Fail Podcast.
What's up?
And this week it's me and Ethan are hosting. Ethan, say hi.
Hi.
Hi. Okay. We also are joined by Arthur. Psych, he's not here. Who's here, Ethan? Who's here?
Tyler.
Hello.
Oh, Tyler's here.
This is weird.
Okay.
Are you on something, Will?
This podcast.
The Talking Fail Podcast, yeah. Okay. this week we're going to talk about The Haunting of Hill House. Going to go into deep, deep spoilers. Tyler.
Yes.
Go.
So there's a hill. There's a place called Hill House, and it's not on a hill. But okay, I'm not going to spoil everything. Oh. But no, I mean, we could talk about spoilers if we want. But
well,
I guess we should talk about general.
Vague. That's fine.
So Ethan recommended it. So I don't know why you went to me.
I recommended it too.
No, you didn't.
It doesn't count if you saw it after I recommended it.
I saw it after Ethan recommended it to me, but I did not watch it because he recommended it to me.
How true is that?
not very true. I actually watch everything Ethan suggests.
How true is that?
Not very true, actually.
All right. Welcome to a very confusing and
I'm going to be 100% unreliable this episode.
All right. Well, this entire episode is an honesty special. Will is going to try and be honest 100% of the time. Let's try not to abuse it with questions.
Okay. So I guess, are we going to talk about Haunting of Hill House? First of all, I can never say the name correctly.
The Haunting of Hill House.
The thing I have a hard time with is there's a board game called The House on the Haunted Hill, and it's just like jumbled the entire thing in my head now.
Yeah. I don't think we've actually talked about our opinions of the show, like if we liked it or not. I thought it was very good. It felt very Stephen King-esque.
Yes.
Better or worse than the board game, The Hill on the Haunted House?
I have not played with the board game, so better.
After I watched the show, I watched a series of YouTube videos to help me formulate how I think about the show, to let me know how to feel. And it's actually
it's the most honest description of reading reviews.
But this is the dishonest episode, so did I?
That's not what this. He's got it all wrong.
Or do I? This is actually based off of a book that an author who inspired Stephen King. So the reason it feels like Stephen King is because Stephen King was inspired by this book.
Gotcha. So Stephen King ripped this off.
Yes. Stephen King is completely unoriginal, hasn't had a single good thing other than The Shawshank Redemption, which was the best movie ever made.
I didn't actually know it was based off a book, but while watching it and after the fact, just thought about how much of like a novel it felt like. Yeah, but don't bring a second season.
Yeah,
do something very similar, but don't make it Haunting of Hill House season 2. Just make a new thing. I'm totally fine with people running single seasons of content as if they're movies. Like
yes,
like
I believe the creator of the show said that story is done. The story of the family is over.
I heard that the story of the family is over, but he's open to having other people go to Hill House.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, I'm like,
cause
no.
Now we can get into what we liked about the show. I think that's dumb because the house had almost nothing to do with what was good about the story. No answers are even laid out about the house. No questions are asked about the house in terms of its origins, why it's this it kind of parses temporal space until the very end where they talk about you exist at different times. Anyway, sorry. Spoilers. Yeah. But the house isn't part of it. What's so good is the psychology and family relationships, like how they write the characters and how they write their relationships and interactions with one another is the strongest thing about the show.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, we don't need to know. It's a haunted house. We all understand that concept. We don't need to understand that, but, you know, it was built on an alien burial ground or something.
It was?
A werewolf burial ground. Do you guys all notice all of the background ghosts? That was one of my favorite parts of the show.
Background ghosts?
Yeah.
In tons of the scenes, especially in the house, and I think we're delving a little bit, not really into spoilers, but pay attention to the backgrounds. There's a lot of times there would be two characters in frame or one character in frame in the foreground, but in the background, out of focus, is a ghost standing there and staring at the main character. The character in the shot.
And it's like a ton.
Yeah. I didn't notice that at all.
And they are pretty hard to notice. I think I noticed one just normal watching. And then I saw the YouTube video that's like, yeah, there's like 30 of them or something.
So, yeah. So there's, I'm tempted to rewatch it immediately after watching
season one. I've rewatched it once to show it to my wife. And like regarding the treehouse, there's like some hints in the earlier episodes and the other rooms. No spoilers.
I mean, I just want to know when we're triggering spoilers so we can give people kind of a warning. But I mean, if we want to talk about spoilers, we can talk about spoilers. Just as long as we acknowledge that we're talking about spoilers.
The scene where the father is talking to the groundskeeper, this isn't a spoiler. What's his name?
Which one? The dad or the groundskeeper?
The guy, you know, that came with the house.
The groundskeeper? You're being as vague as possible on this.
It's just the guy that came with the house.
The ghosts or the guy?
The guy.
Okay, this is dumb. The guy who was like, who discount, I thought in my head while I was watching the show, the groundskeeper's nickname was Discount Russell Crowe for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that works. Discount current fat Russell Crowe.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yes. This is current 2018 Russell Crowe.
There's so many things where like I thought the show was going to like short us on like, okay, we're going to start talking about like what's going on, and then the main character's just gonna be like, I don't believe in ghosts, bye, while the guy is like saying exactly what's going on. But there's like, I don't know, like almost 10 minutes of just the guy talking about like, this house is messed up and you should probably listen to me. And then the guy's like, okay, I kind of actually believe that because I've been seeing weird stuff too, and I'm not gonna ignore that. I was like, thank you.
Thank you for not being dumb. All right. So I guess diving into spoilers. So spoiler alert, whatever. I don't know how long it's going to take for you to skip ahead. But
the house is haunted.
But maybe pause this episode. Go watch the 10 episodes of Haunted Hill House Revenge 2.
And then don't ever come back because you realized what actual entertainment is.
I recommend this higher than anything. in the sense of it's not an opinion. It's a good show.
It's like
you should watch it.
It's like Shawshank Redemption is very top, and then like right underneath it is The Haunting of Hill House.
I will make one case. I saw ads for it forever and said, there's no way I'm going to watch this. I have no interest in it whatsoever, because I don't care about horror. I think ghost stories are boring, and when they're actually done well, I find them disturbing and not entertaining. and I was just going to stay away from it. And I had a friend who has the exact same perspective, and she said, it's not even, it, the show doesn't orient around the scares. It's like the scares are just added in to kind of justify it as a horror thing, but they're done well. But the writing right. of it and the actual progression of the narrative is so good that it just, you just keep coming back to it. Like, you're like, I gotta continue with this story.
Yeah.
So if you're averse to horror or scary things, I wouldn't let that keep you from enjoying this.
Yeah, it's a family drama that happens to have ghosts or, you know, haunting in it.
And I think you could even watch it with your kids, maybe not yours, Tyler, but maybe like 12 or older or
sure.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite episode. I was watching the show and then it didn't like. I was enjoying it, but it didn't like really click or like hook into me. Until it was like the middle of the season where it's the funeral, the wake episode.
Yeah.
That was where it's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Yes. The second best thing about the show is the director of photography and the cinematography.
Yes.
Like there's a six or it's got to be longer than 6 minutes. There's a really long single cut.
There's two of them.
That whole
shot.
Episode is like three takes. Or something.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's like the Breakfast Club of storytelling, mm-hmm. but it takes place at a wake about a family bringing up issues that are only coming out because, spoilers, their sister has killed herself. So you have like this family fighting about things while there's a corpse in the background and mm-hmm. and
there's a scene in that where the father like decides to go to the bathroom or something. So he walks out of the like mortuary where the dead body is and walks down a hallway. He opens the door and he's inside the mansion walking down
in the path. Yeah.
And it's like one take. And then all of a sudden the next scene is starting with them as younger people. So he like walks us down the hallway in like
into
one
the
shot.
Flashback. Yeah, into the flashback. Yeah. Such a good... Yeah, it was really good.
And, I think this is a good comparison to me between this show's long take episode and the Daredevil long take. Do you guys... I think that it was used a lot better in this because it felt almost like we were watching a play, which kind of made it more real.
Sure. Like, I get that.
I was like, I think stressed out a little bit with how long the take was going. And like,
it's like these actors really know those words.
There's no like cuts. So it just all is like flowing and feels kind of real. And when I was actually a little underwhelmed with the Daredevil long take.
Which are you talking about the newest season?
The prison fight scene.
Oh, dude, that's.
I'd heard so much about it, and it was probably a little overhyped. And it was okay. Like, I can, like, see the choreography and, like, okay, I can see that they just switched to the stunt double, and I'm totally out of it now. And in this, it's like, this is so long, and it's not like I'm watching people act. It was very impressive.
Yeah. Ethan, have you watched Daredevil?
No.
Seasons. Okay. So each season is known, at least one point in each season, they do a fight where it is one continuous take. And I think like the first season one's fight was like 7 or 8 minutes long. And like, even if you pull up just the fight on YouTube, it's really fascinating to watch because it's like the main guy, Daredevil, and like four or five like thugs, random, you know, street thugs, and they're just, you know, beating the crap out of each other. And in
epic
this
hallway
this,
fight scene,
yeah, Daredevil season one hallway fight. And like there's a point like halfway through where they're, you can tell everybody's exhausted, but they still have to fight each other. And like, and Daredevil even like throws a guy off and like just slumps up against the wall just to, for like 2 seconds, just to take, you can just see him. He's just like, I just need to take a couple breaths. It's like, okay. And then jumps, you know, jumps back into the fight with the guy who, you know, starts to attack him. And season two had like made it even longer. And season three was like, I want to say it was like 15, 17 minutes long of a take, single take in this like prison riot. So it's something that Daredevil's known for. Arrow, actually, the show Arrow a couple seasons ago kind of did an homage to it themselves and had their own, you know, very long one take fight. That was kind of cool.
I'm iffy about it becoming a tropey thing. Like, oh, it's good because it's long.
Right.
Which I mean, we've all heard our whole lives, but most of us don't buy.
Sure. And I think the comparing Daredevil and Hill House Haunting, I think they're trying to do different things. Mm-hmm. Like the Daredevil season one, I think it was the best one. But definitely what Will was saying with the Haunting, where it's like there are stage directions and, you know, everybody's got to remember their lines and all this stuff. And it's, I don't know, it's just, I think they're trying to do two different things, but they're both really good.
Okay. I think also in Hill House, like, I didn't totally appreciate it until the second time I was watching it when they're doing the long takes and they're putting like
twice.
Well, I watched the show twice. Yes.
How quick? Okay, real quick. How soon after finishing it did you start it up again?
A couple days, because I was like, "This is good. I should show it to my wife."
How long did you spend? Did you binge it the first time or the second time?
For the most part, the big problem was I was playing video games while I was watching it, so I missed, like, I didn't even notice that they were doing long takes the first time I watched it, because I wasn't even watching.
Okay, so, yeah, now it makes sense that you finish it and go, I think that was good.
I started paying attention toward the end when it got really good, and I was like, oh, dang, this is good. But takes when they put in like ghost jump scares where all of a sudden there's like a ghost right behind them of like the direction of like, okay, wait, the camera's out of frame. Now go run in, stand behind them, stand still and be scary. Okay. That was spooky. Everyone's freaking out. And then you run away. Like,
I did really appreciate where they did add horror because honestly, there were a lot of jump scares, but as I was watching it, I was conscious of the fact of these don't feel cheap. These don't feel
right.
These don't feel. I don't even know how to articulate it because I don't watch horror. I just know there's a lot of criticism around like jump scares being used as essentially emotional filler for.
I can only really remember a couple jump scares. Like the only one that sticks out is the girl in the car. And I thought that was actually kind of funny.
That was amazing.
It's like what
this show does.
Just talk to each other.
I think what really emphasizes the kind of horror and the quality of like horror that this has is the moment one of the first scares you see, or one of the first like images that's pretty haunting, of when the youngest girl goes to sleep on the couch. And you later find out she's experiencing, I think, sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. Or this is the first time. Or this is the moment that like induces this pattern of sleep paralysis for the rest of her life, where she opens her eyes on the couch and you know that she's, the camera's just straight down on her face and you know that she's looking straight up at something and is starting to be terrified. And then the camera slowly backs away and slowly pans up and you start to see like hair that's hanging down comes into frame. Mm-hmm. And then you just see this like, it's like it tells you what's going to be there before it shows it, but still, by the very last scene where you see this Michael little Jackson. Girl laying on a couch and this like haunting woman floating above her, just staring, looking down, going no, like it's horrible.
So one of the other things I really like about it is like everybody. So basically, there's in the past these kids. Grew up in, had spent a few months in a haunted house, and then they're like very traumatized by it
because
like,
their mother dies, and like there's a whole
you flash forward like 20 years to where they're adults, and they're all still messed up about it. and you don't know if, like, they, like, occasionally they'll see ghosts and stuff, and it's like, you don't know if that's a legit real ghost that they're seeing, or just like they have, like, it's like PTSD hallucination.
Yeah. Kind like of the thing. Son, the Son talks about it as a hereditary mental disorder, which, like, yeah, because their mom killed herself in the house. Like, there's one night where the dad comes in and, like, whispers to everybody, like, you have to leave, we have to get out, like, I'm gonna carry you, don't open your eyes. And it's just like, it presents it really well as, like, it's a traumatic thing for kids, and then they get in this car and they screech away and the mom's not there, and then the mm-hmm. next morning the house makes people kill themselves.
It takes a long time where they never really see the same ghosts. So you're like, they're not seeing the same things. They could just be crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Look who finally showed up.
Archer, you there?
Hello.
And this week we have Archer on the podcast.
What's up?
We already did. Yeah, already that's did right. all that.
Yeah, well, look, first come, first serve. I have to speak. I have to speak because otherwise my voice doesn't get heard. Stuff.
Yeah, that's how that works. Have you seen? We were talking about The Haunting of Hill House. Have you seen it? Have you seen the show on Netflix?
I started it.
Okay, how far are you? Spoilers are over.
Well, so I
no,
mean,
yeah. Did you guys all finish it? Is that like
Will's? Yeah. Will finished it twice.
Jesus.
So, yeah, we can probably move on.
I'm done talking about spoilers. I can't ruin it for Archer. It's too good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, good show. We all recommend it. Keep watching it, Archer. Cool.
Man, I was just about to talk about my favorite part about it too. Dang it,
Archer. Archer,
can you take off your headphones?
I really like the screaming memes lady. So when positively screaming meme.
I will say there's an entire component when I finish the show of like the it's an exaggeration and an almost inversion of some facets of like the Oedipal mother, where the house is in fact the Oedipal mother, as in the mother that's like, I will take care of you, I will keep you from experiencing certain, like, you won't have to experience pain, I'll take care of things for you, you won't have to struggle or suffer, but you never get to leave. The 40-year-old stuck in his mom's house, not working.
Whoa, 22-year-old.
Whole thing, and the house does it through death. And the house does it through, like, convincing the mother that living life in itself is the ultimate suffering, and your job as a mother is to keep your child from experiencing suffering. So how do you keep your child from experiencing ultimate suffering, which is in living?
by using blueapron.com. That would have been the perfect place to drop in an ad if we had sponsors.
Real quick, around the room, who's the best child in the show?
The best, as a kid?
Or adult, or best character that is one of the kids.
That's tough. Theo. That's tough.
Theo? Is that
I like Theo. Although
the glove
Theo's,
girl.
The emo
could,
one?
Yeah. I'm glad they... They almost ruined it a couple times with Theo. It's like, so there's all these normal kids, and then there's Theo, this like super attractive young psychologist with a doctorate who happens to be able to sense emotions and life experiences through touching people's skin and objects, and because of that can find out child molesters and rapists through her job. It's like, oh yeah, she's a superhero who finds sex predators, but that's, you know, we talk about that for 15 minutes.
That's her least interesting thing.
Yeah. It's even summed up where somebody's like, how is your day? Well, I sent a sex offender sent a child rapist to prison, and so-and-so died. So not too good. It's like, yep, that's about right. That's about as much time as got spent on that. Oh, we're still spoiling it for Archer.
All right. Do we want to move on to...
I'm definitely not paying attention.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, you can definitely not pay attention to the next thing, which is which is my game, Tyler's Very Classy Culture Corner: Random Urban Dictionary.
I'm done. When are we going to figure out which is the classiest colon?
The semi.
Well, So, so if you don't remember how this works, I will read off a word that I found on Urban Dictionary, and each of you, each of the other hosts, have to guess the correct Urban Dictionary definition for it. If they get it correct, they get 2 points, and then I will also select a best guess, or whatever I think was the most interesting, to get 1 point. And here we go. The first word is backwood.
I have an interesting story about this, but I can't say it on the air.
Oh, are you serious? Okay,
happened this last week.
I want to hear this story.
Just go ahead and mute your Audacity audio right now. And Arthur, you can tell the story.
It's actually not that bad. It's just kind of... I feel like I'm going to lose the point for the same reason that I lost Crossed. backwoods, it's a type of like black and mild. It's a type of cigarette, basically. But it's usually used to roll blunts, which is a type of cigarette, kids, and smoking is bad. Okay, cool.
It's the type of cigarette with weed.
Yeah, no, but the story was we were stopping at a gas station, and it was like 2:30 in the morning, and only the driver is sober, and I'm not the driver. So we're about to pump gas, but the like pump isn't working, so we have to go inside. And on the way inside, I like hear to my right in the parking lot, like, "Hey, blah 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 blah, backwoods." And I was like, "What?" So I walked up closer, and they're like, can you buy us some backwoods?" And I was like, "All right, what kind?" And
wait a minute,
is that code for like follow me to your car or whatever?
Can you give me some backwood?
I mean, they were old enough to drive, but that's not
that's 16.
Yeah, so look, it's not a anyways, I heard legal? What they said, and I was like, okay, what kind? And then they were blah 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 cognac, and I was like, wait, that is not in the class of things that like I thought you were asking for at all. So then I just deferred to my friend. I was like, Danny, I'm too not sober for this, you take care of this.
You just threw your friend under the bus for buying underage people.
And then it wasn't alcohol. It wasn't a cigarette. I mean, technically it was. That's why you have to be 21.
Then I'm confused. All what's the connection of cognac and backwood?
I guess it's a flavor. It's probably a liquor flavor, but I didn't read into it.
Okay.
After we finished the exchange, hypothetically, allegedly.
Change from my hypothetical.
we were actually pumped the gas, and they rode up next to us, and we're like, "What are you guys not sober on?" And we're like, "This is alcohol." Let's leave.
Were they smoking when they rode
they
up?
They were
to
prepping
you
a blunt,
just like with lighters. Like,
but anyways, I mean, who knows? It could be something completely different.
Did they have training wheels on their bikes still?
It was an interesting crowd.
All right, enough smoking. You kids need to be vaping.
So this game that we're supposedly playing. Does anybody else have
kid from Haunting of Hill House?
No, Archer. I mean, Archer's right. That's the right answer. So either all three of us say that, or Will and I now have to try and one-up each other on the funniest answer.
I'm going to go for backwood is when you are you're a lumberjack and you just chopped down your last tree of the day, and you're like, well, time to load it up into the truck, and then you bend over, and you're bending over to pick it up, and then you lift, and then, oh, I threw out my back on this wood.
All right. So I will say that Archer's answer is correct.
What?
Ethan also got 2 points because he went with Archer's answer.
I don't think Ethan ever answered.
He said that Archer's answer was correct.
It did sound like he was ready for a funny answer though, before we I don't know, Ethan, it's your call.
But and we'll
do I want to throw away my points? Or
and then,
well, you could compete for the bonus answer, Ethan.
No, no,
that's worth 1 point.
The only card I have is an offensive one, and that's not going to get me points.
Ooh. Tyler, you love offensive things,
unless
right?
unless we're giving points for potential of Twitter mob based on the answer.
Oh. Okay. So
one of us could get Twitter mobbed. That would be great.
Will just retweets to everybody who's calling him some sort of racial slur or like a bigot. He's like, "You betcha! Check out Talking Fail.
People know my name. That's all that matters.
And your Facebook and your email."
All right. So I'm going to give Will the arbitrary point for knowing that his answer was wrong, but still trying to do something different that and not conform to Will it to Ethan and Archer's answers.
It's nice too. It's also like a Johnny Appleseed tale.
Sure. All right, next word. Bubby.
Bubby.
Okay, I've got one.
Is it
okay.
My childhood nickname?
All right.
That is gonna be really cool if it says Ethan Sapp's childhood nickname.
All right, Archer or Will, do either of you have?
I feel like it's a play on hubby. Like, I don't know what bubby would mean, but maybe it's like
when you marry a baby.
I don't know. That's what
well,
my mind
obviously, bubby is when Wolverine has a baby. You know, that's his little bubby.
His little bubby.
Like, it's got a little cigarette in its mouth. That's my bubby.
Yep.
That's pretty much my experience too.
Archer, did you want to
Change my answer? Is that a
Well, I mean, I guess what is your
oh,
answer?
It's some sort of
cuz you kind of threw
oh,
a vague
I see,
thing.
So I'm like getting close, but I have
I just want to clarify. I know I want to
just looking for any insight here. no, I mean the closest thing I'm going to have to answer is like a some form of hubby, but I don't think that's like specific enough. For an answer.
All right. I'll say Archer is close, but I think it's too far away to actually deserve the 2 points. The correct answer is a sweet name for one you love, the one you adore, your boo, as opposed to
what?
Patronizing as opposed to being patronizing like baby. Bubby Bubby is used when you if you really love that person.
Uh-huh.
Like a baby.
I will give...
All
right, fine.
That is Wolverine's baby. Yeah.
Arbitrary point goes to Ethan for his childhood trauma.
And there's actually, unless they were destroyed, somewhere out there exist tapes of me as like 7 or 8 years old.
Cassette
performing
tapes?
Before I knew what improv was, I was doing like, I did something called the Bubby Show. that was basically just a bunch of like Three Stooges physical comedy where I'd pretend to slam my I'd like do a tutorial on how to hammer nails, and the whole time it'd be me accidentally like smashing my hands or breaking things. And
is this you on Adderall era?
No, this was me homeschooled.
Anna or Jonathan, $5 if you can find these tapes and present them.
Let's all call Ethan Bubby from now on.
Yeah, I mean, we just got that definition, so I'm kind of okay with that.
All right, Bubby.
All right, a final. Okay, so real quick, scores. We have Will in third place with 1 point, Archer in second place with 2 points, and Ethan is in the lead with 3 points.
I'm sorry, who?
Okay, this is Bubby. A race for the Bubby title. The winner of this game is the Talking Fail Bubby.
So
I can't wait to grab that Bubby.
All right, final word. 3 letters. BTB.
BTB. It's going to be Bubby to Bubby.
That would have sucked if I'd done them out of order.
Will wins. I thought it was Bust That Bubby.
Bust That. Bring that back. Bring that back. I don't know. Back to back. Bring that back. Are we making lyrics for?
What was that? That was kind of catchy.
Baby, bring that. Baby, bring that bubby back.
Bring that back.
Get a funky tune going.
I'm bringing bubby back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this the episode of this, or the name of this episode, better have something to do with Bubby.
I'm gonna go with banging that Bubby.
Okay, now it's weird, right? Because like my family and my family's friends would call me this growing up.
It was an actual
this was actually my childhood nickname. That wasn't a joke.
All right. So Bubby,
those Bubbies.
Okay, we need to like lock in some answers here because we've had a lot of
out. And it sounds like one of them's right.
I need
back to back. I don't know. That seems pretty boring, though. Like, is this a red herring? Like, you gave us a simple one. Anyways, we'll find out after the break.
Bubby, do you have a submission?
Oh, geez. I can't stop thinking about Will's. I can't think of anything that doesn't have the word Bubby in it. bust that Bubby. I'm just going to
Bust that Bubby?
Bust that Bubby.
Bring that Bubby is mine.
Bring that Bubby.
Bubby to Bubby is...
Okay, I'm going back to Bubby to Bubby. I like Bubby to Bubby.
that bubbly, bubbly, Bubby, Bubby.
All right, so... okay. this game did exactly what I wanted to do, now it's... All right, none of you were correct. Unfortunately, there were no Bubbies involved.
They're about to be.
Will gets the arbitrary point for Bubby to Bubby.
It's so fun.
the correct definition for BTB is Bring That Booty, coined from the character Daryl from NBC's The Office.
I also was complimented as a child for my butt. So those it's basically just me.
Wait, okay, whoa. Now I already wanted to dive into the origin of Bubby, but now I'm concerned.
Now I feel
like my mom would just talk about how it's in our family. Like you have a stack bottom, which is
by
my mom's maiden name.
Is in your family? Do you mean a sex offender?
Did you also grow up in a haunted house?
Yeah, I was only there for a couple months and left traumatized for the rest of my life. A ghost called me Bubby and wanted to do things.
Bubby.
Yeah.
Okay. I have another topic that I want to jump on.
I have one too before we get.
We'll see how long it takes before we jump on those two.
Okay.
Oh no.
Are any of you familiar with John McAfee?
Yes.
Is he still alive?
Yes, he is.
Oh, really? That virus didn't take him out?
No. I have not like dived into the complete history of John McAfee, but. He's the creator of the company, and he is basically a lunatic at this point. I don't know if something clicked.
Well, let's not prime. Well, let's talk about the facts. Let's be clear. Okay. He is a libertarian, so you might have a point. But
How about this? I have some tweets from his Twitter that from the last like 6 months that I perused.
How many followers does he have?
I don't want to click away.
875,000.
Hit hold control when you hit click,
and it's 875,000.
It's easy.
Okay. What? So, here is a quote, a tweet from John McAfee. People make fun of my stomach. Here's my regimen: booze, cigarettes, zero exercise, and experimental recreational research chemicals.
I fail to see the lunatic part.
I can skate by on this regimen because I'm 73 and most people label the stomach as meaningless compared to the miracle that I am still alive. Not funny,
that's
but
awesome.
Not too crazy. Okay.
That's awesome.
Okay, right. Next.
Experimental recreational chemicals?
Yes. Not drugs necessarily, but
he's a big vapor.
Acid is a whatever. Let's move on.
All right. I was at a bar and the waitress quietly passed me a note. Quote, I want to fuck you. I didn't respond. I don't trust a woman who doesn't charge money for sex. Pros don't take waitress jobs. Men, if you think ever that there is such a thing as free sex, then you live in a closet.
This man has a good head on his shoulders.
All right.
And a good stomach on himself.
No, it doesn't matter. He's 73.
Real quick, while my tabs are loading and taking forever, he has
tabs
a lot of videos.
Of recreational chemicals?
Okay, so he's got a picture of himself with the Winklevoss twins. And it
the
says
real ones or the good ones?
The real ones.
With my proudest creation.
So, quote, with the Winklevoss twins, or so they said, I trust nothing. even though everyone verified their identity, I believe they are clones and part of a CIA conspiracy to get me to divulge my secret knowledge of the crypto space. Trust no one.
Okay, so now I'm thinking that he didn't actually have a sudden twist to this paranoia. I think the reason the software was ever invented was out of this. People are going to try and infect my computer with a virus. They're going to get it sick. They're going to put their germs through the internet.
All right. Next, we have, in reference to Kanye's password choices, password and all zeros are the most secure passwords these days. Not even brute force decryption engines use them. The reasoning? No one would be that stupid. So why waste processing power looking for them? Kanye is on the leading edge.
Is that
true?
See,
this sounds like a man that runs a password decrypting thing that immediately goes through all the stupid passwords first.
Well, did I mention that he ran for president in the last U.S. election and is planning to run in the next one?
How many elections has he run?
I think just two.
Oh, come on. He's going to turn the election into some kind of big joke. He could never be president. That would never happen.
All right, next. We have, he quotes Mark Twain, or I haven't actually verified that this is a legit Mark Twain quote, but you can't get to old age by another man's road. My vices protect me, but they would assassinate you, by Mark Twain, allegedly. And then he says, the truth. I'm 73. I drink a gallon of whiskey a day. I take more drugs in a year than anyone could carry. I chain smoke. It works for me.
See, now I'm on this whole skepticism train. I don't think that's true. I think he is very healthy, and he's lying to us, so we all die sooner, and he gets to enjoy more future stuff.
How does he know how many drugs I can carry?
He's John McAfee. He knows everything.
Who's there?
I don't know if this guy's alive. Credible
yes.
source.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Well, here's my last. Here's my last John McAfee tweet. My sommelier challenged me to drink a bottle of wine that Hilton sells for $700 per bottle, and compare it to Primal Sludge, which we buy in volume for $1.63 per bottle. And then, actually, I forgot to mention, he's got a picture of himself chugging a wine bottle. It was no contest. After drowning a bottle of each, Primal Sludge wins. Hands fucking down.
Does this guy have kids?
I don't know, but he's, like, super crazy paranoid. He has, like, videos of himself, like, making, oh, here's how to make a drink. And he's got, like, a guy with, like, a machine gun in his kitchen. Just, like, that's his part of his security team.
That's the real McAfee security system, guys.
Exactly. That's what I need for my computer.
He doesn't look. He doesn't look
73.
Yeah.
Or insane. I saw a video of him telling a story of like him and his wife were like they're in the U.S. but they're on the run from like people trying to murder them.
I'm looking at this right now. James McAfee says he's been poisoned and tells culprits, you will soon understand the true meaning of wrath. This was June of this year.
Yeah, so he's an interesting fella.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Although, if he does become president, like we think the current guy is big on national security.
Sorry. I found another tweet that I need to read.
You know, right, real quote. Quick, yeah. Ethan, yes? The worst part about him being president is like every couple weeks, the border wall is going to be like, we need to update.
Golf clap, golf clap.
Continue, right. Tyler.
I need to breathe. All right, quote. Oh, no. Quote, some call me whale fucker. All right? There's a private club where a few dozens of Maori men and one butch woman meet each year to fuck a whale. True. Men on paddleboards herd the whale while one tries to fuck it. Wouldn't let me to club. Tried it alone. Epic fail.
Is that a club fail reference? I think we found a fan.
John McAfee club fail reference of the week.
Guys, it's supposed to be organic. Come on.
What was that word, Tyler?
Here, I just sent you the tweet. So the few dozen M-A-O-R-I men, and they meet in the Molokai each year to fuck a whale.
Oh, it's a demographic of people. Indigenous Polynesian people of New Zealand.
Yeah, no judge.
Does it say anything about their sexual attraction to whales?
Just sheep. I don't see anything about... about whales.
How do you even catch a whale? And how does that work?
They herd it, and then one of them hops on.
How would that work? Like, I think we should just rent a boat and just hop on a whale or something and try this out. Like, that would be crazy, right?
Will wants to turn a whale into his own bubby.
More like blubby.
All right, so that's John McAfee, noted lunatic.
Okay, can we get him on the show?
I was really tempted to try and message him.
Why not?
You're only a lunatic until you're proven right.
So I'll send a tweet.
Well, you can't do it. We have to send an email. We have to, get in contact with his machine gun kitchen agent guy. That's actually just a Blue Apron representative.
All right. I feel like I've been monopolizing the show. We only have 10 minutes left.
What are your guys' thoughts on Blue Apron? Because I think it sucks.
I've never tried it.
Well. Anyway, Will and I found somebody on Craigslist who is selling prepackaged meals for the same price as Blue Apron.
Which is terrifying.
Yeah.
They would ever buy that.
Yeah. They're like 10. Yeah. It's only $12. It's only $2 extra for double the carbs.
It's like one small meal for $15 or something.
Which I did see a hooker put that out there once too.
Let's talk about that.
No. I do have something very quick. So I opened and used Google Play for the first time today on my phone because I was trying to find some old songs on here, and I also found a treasure trove of audio recordings that not only did I not know existed on this phone, I didn't know had ever been recorded ever. Somehow over the past couple of years, my phone has been pocket dial recording random moments of my life. Like, I have an hour and a half of me and my dad moving furniture into my sister's apartment. I have an audio recording of me doing a quasi psychological assessment. And I also found
that one stands out, does it not? I mean,
no, it does. Well, it's not psychological assessment. It was.
Can you move things with your mind?
Archer, there's actually one of you and I, I think in your apartment.
I do not consent.
Talking about, I didn't give my consent either. I was thinking about what's the law when nobody knows. But I
give consent.
Okay, the most interesting one I found was from about a year and a half to 2 years ago, right when we started the beginning of the podcast, and I thought I was drunk, but it turns out that I had taken an enormous amount of sleeping pills and then felt the need to record ideas for the podcast.
Oh boy.
So I have 2 minutes to play for you. Well, it's not
okay. Do you want to play it off your phone now?
Yeah, and then send it to you?
Send me the file and I can edit it in.
Yeah.
So this will be seamless.
Yeah.
Okay. Except for the part where we just sort of signaled everything we were going to do. But Tyler, I assume we're going to edit that out. And boom, that means it's going to stay in. Yeah, that's right. You brought it back.
I really like that. I think Archer's working his way up to Bubby number two on my list with the remarks like that.
He's the Bubby to the Bubby.
Are we going to have a Bubby to Bubby situation?
when you get enough Bubbies in the same room, it's essentially just a glass of champagne. Bubbles.
All right, Ethan, we were ramping for you to get the thing going.
I was waiting for you to stop. Okay.
It was a total bub fest.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, I currently feel like I'm in the perfect state to just record some, like, intro B-roll so we have it. Kwanzaa. Welcome to the Kwanzaa podcast. Today with us, we have, are you Jeff Goldblum or are you the other, the Jew guy, the pineapple Jew guy?
Is Will Jeff Goldblum?
What's his, the dude from everything, like... Pineapple Express, man.
Seth Rogen?
Superbad. He's everywhere. What's his name? Guys, we gotta find his name. We gotta save him. Because I don't know what his name is. I also don't know who we're talking about anymore. I did this once, but the thing crashed, and now I forgot what my entire goal was. Thank you for listening to Autism on Drugs. This has been your host... Pharmacy.
Ethan's campaign to change his nickname from like Husky to something else is like is super strong today.
Yeah.
Which I
think those 2 minutes kind of culminate the entire podcast. It's like, here's an idea. Who are those people? I forgot what my goal was. The end.
I gotta give you props for staying on. You know, you were an excellent host. You know, it was like you welcomed the show, you had your discussion, and then you wrapped up the show. It was a good beginning, middle, and end.
I think we could have used a RIP section, though.
I think that Ethan is RIP.
if I heard like news that person just died, I'd be like, yeah, that makes a little sense.
No, yeah, that was like me taking sleeping pills, but then forcing myself to stay awake and entering a state of delirium. Not forcing myself to stay awake, just like, oh yeah, I'll just like, I don't even have to try. I'll just fall asleep whenever I'm ready and then stay on my phone. And then I'm like, I got a great idea. I should record it.
Uh-oh, he's back.
Uh-oh. Oh no.
Guys, when I was talking about Jeff Goldblum, I think I was thinking of James Franco.
Oh,
he's not Jewish.
And now we got it. So now we have to figure out why Pineapple Express was on the brain and what the whole Kwanzaa thing is. Anyway, so I've got some audio to go through and figure out what happened.
Well, check in with us later if you have some highlights that you want to share, and we'll see how that goes. We should probably wrap up the show. Will, did you want to do a RIP or anything like that?
Yeah, it's a doubleheader. So RIP to Steven Hillenburg, the creator of SpongeBob SquarePants. You know, he had a very good show. I enjoyed that very much. and is very sad that he's gone. I can't believe it's not RIP to a John McAfee. He's 73. He smokes. He drinks. You know, he's got a big belly.
Recreational things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That he should be dead.
Bye, everybody. See you all next week.
Good day.
Kwanzaa, what is it?
It's kind of like Shanika, right?
Yeah. Wait, Ethan, you're Jewish, right? What is Shanika?